making random naked sounds.
Your favorite restaurant has always been Lord Wellington's Beef Trapeze.
Really? That sounds pretty good.
The Scarab Swarmcast is recorded, mixed, and produced at Lord Wellington's Beef Trapeze in Columbia, South Carolina. Mostly. Scarab is the South Carolina area role players and board gamers convention held annually in Columbia, South Carolina on MLK weekend for 4 days. The Scarab Swarmcast podcast is hosted by and features many of the Scarab staff and guests. Views and opinions expressed on this show usually come from a random D20 chart or an FAQ found on the web somewhere, and usually don't reflect anything any sane person would or should think. Ah! I'm Toast, your kobold announcer. And now, here's our host, John Middles!
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Scarab Swarmcast. I'm your host, John Manus, as Toast said at the beginning of the show. In this episode, I'm going to be catching up with the Gambrels to see what they've been up to since the first time we interviewed them on the very second or first episode of the show. I think it was the second episode. I'm also going to be talking with their son, Balin Gambrel. He's going to talk about something that cool that he did at Scarab this year. And we're going to do a kick in the quick where we're going to talk about Cosmic Patrol by Catalyst Games. So I hope you enjoy this. All right. So back in season one, I think it was episode 2 of the Scarab Swarmcast, we had Brian and Amy Gambrel came on and they were talking about themselves because that's what they like to do. No, they were talking about themselves and they had some stories and all sorts of things. And I've got them back here so we can see where they are or where are they now. So, hey guys, how are you doing?
Good.
We're doing great, I think. One month after the convention, has it been a month?
Yeah. After Scarab 5? So Scarab 2015. Wow.
Yeah, 30 days, I think we're all just...
Everyone's almost recovered?
Almost recovered.
So, have you guys been playing or doing anything interesting lately?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Destiny, which is the new video game by Bungie.
Okay.
The makers of Halo. So, it's like, it has Halo first-person shooter elements with role-playing, Dungeon Age type, Diablo, kill it, loot it. we've been playing, actually, we've been doing a home game of Rise of the Rune Lords, which is Pathfinder's... preeminent. That's actually what put Paizo on the map as far as D&D. And I've been running the game with Dell and Matt and Amy and Balin and Bo, Dell's son Bo. And we have a guest who sits in occasionally, which is Aiden. And Aiden has figured out role playing games and at the age of 8, which is kill it and loot it. And he hasn't quite figured out the enemy has to be dead before you can loot it. Because during the encounter, he was just chanting, loot, loot, loot. and so Dell had to kind of calm it down and go, we got to kill him first. We'll kill them and then take their stuff. And so he killed, you know, we had an encounter with goblins. And he's like, so what loot did we get? And he said, nothing, goblins. And he looked so disappointed.
But then he wants to play a goblin.
So then he wants to play a goblin.
Yeah, he wants to play a goblin.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he did not win that boon.
No, you don't win that boon.
So are there any exciting changes or happenings since last time you were on the podcast?
Well, I've taken over more of doing Pathfinder headquarters for Dell, since Dell has to be convention director and also Pathfinder coordinator. And it's really kind of too much to do, and since I didn't, it just became kind of a natural thing to be in headquarters as far as taking that over. So that's what I've been doing, and I guess Amy still maintain
my position as registration person. Take your money. I'm happy to take money. People throw money at me. I like it.
And we had a I think an excellent year as far as Pathfinder was concerned. We had we grew by 50 tables again for the convention. We had on average 20 tables of Pathfinder going around. So that's you know, that kept me really busy during the convention, and Amy taking people's money.
Taking people's money.
Oh, wow, I enjoyed it.
I've seen some pictures of you on the internet taking money or sleeping on the money, yeah, or something.
That sounded a little wrong.
What? Taking money and
no,
sleeping?
Pictures on the internet of you taking money.
Oh, you taking money. If you know what I mean.
Really? You took money?
You give me a little more money. I stuff a little more in there, but anyway.
All right. Yeah, they taking pictures of Amy napping is not very difficult. Amy is a human cat. So she's the only person I've ever met that has said, who has taken a 3-hour nap, gotten up and stretched, going, well, I'm tired, I'm going to bed.
They sleep all night.
And they sleep all night. She can sleep like a cat.
Alright. Well, are you looking forward to anything in particular for 2015?
For this year? This year,
Well, we're going to NomCon.
Going to NomCon for the first time. We've never been.
Yeah.
Of all
I
the
thought
year,
you had been.
Never been. I've been through Savannah, but I've never been to Savannah.
I know, mostly,
so we've never been to NomCon. We're looking forward to that. And
yeah, it's usually just been a smaller crew going to NomCon.
I think we'll probably, I don't know if we'll go to EtchCon this year, but we enjoyed it last year. We went to EtchCon, and on Scarab's Facebook page, if you look, there's a picture of Captain Jack Sparrow playing Loopy Louie with my boys and Bo. So that was, you know, that was probably the highlight of the whole weekend.
A couple of celebrities that, you know.
Right. Our boys are real big fans of Adventure Time. And they met the girl that does the voice of Marceline.
And the girl that does the voice of Flame Princess.
Right.
That's right. I remember seeing those pictures.
And we also met the guy, Lou, who played Lou on Walking Dead. He's the one of the prisoners they rescue in season 3.
So is there anything that you have planned or might be looking forward to for Scarab 6 in 2016?
Oh, Lord.
It's probably a little too early to ask for that.
Are we planning that yet?
Yeah, I actually...
Amy's looking forward to taking more people.
The next Scarab event I'm looking forward to is actually Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Which is our... I guess we can talk about it now. It's been a secret for so long. Although we have not revealed what the acronym stands for.
I don't even know what the acronym stands for, and I'm...
We'll have to get Sean on the show to...
He does creative acronyms.
We love acronyms.
Yeah.
And people will see that on the internet, that we took pictures of the site so that people can get a good idea of what Scorpion's going to look like. Gamer Camp. So my only regret is that we're doing it in May and not in October. Because as we were leaving, you know, we had a great idea of doing a horror-themed version.
Mm-hmm. Well, if this one's good enough, maybe we'll have it.
Well, it is going to be, what, May 1st? Yeah. Through the 3rd?
That's right.
And you know what starts that day?
That's right. This Scorpion starts the 1st of May.
The 1st of May?
You're not going to...
I'm not going to get you to say it.
Can't be to say that. 1st of May, just like the song.
What starts that day?
Outdoor gaming.
Oh, okay.
Outdoor gaming starts that day.
That happens to be the weekend before my birthday, so...
Okay, so
my birthday is May 7th.
So people should come out
and bring cake
to Scorpion and to wish you a happy birthday.
Ice cream.
I'm an ice cream.
I think I'm an ice cream guy.
Just bring some ice cream.
Yeah.
Bring some ice cream.
All right.
And we'll, I think it's going to be, you know, there's a lot of ideas that Dell has that you go, that sounds crazy. Why would anyone want to do that? And then he wears on you after a while. And then eventually you go, well,
he sucks your brain out.
Yeah, he's like an Iphalid, you know, like a mind flayer. But, you know, today, I guess, having been out there, I guess it was one of those things, until you went out there, it was kind of hard to understand what the vision was.
I got it.
Well, I don't like camping. Anyway.
I think he just wanted to...
We might camp at home, but anyway.
We're going to camp at home, probably.
I think Dell just wanted to do some role-playing on the back of a horse while shooting a bow and arrow or something.
So.
This is as close as he's going to get.
The liability. my brain. Just...
My favorite part was when he was talking about the ponies and the pony rides, and he said, "So any of us who are 200 pounds or lighter can
ride the horse."
Ride the horse, yeah. And we're all looking at each other like,
"Yeah." So that's Liz, two of the people Schultz, here: Mary Harbaugh and the kids.
The kids.
Randy can.
Randy.
Randy.
Kenetha, maybe.
So yeah, I think Scorpion's going. I think it's actually going to be kind of fun to have a kind of a low key weekend where we're all just.
We don't have to do anything. We just play.
And there might be some. There's probably going to be some LARPing going on there too. So that should be pretty neat to see too.
What? Yes, watching people beat each other with padded weapons.
They can throw pine cones at each other. There are a lot of pine cones out there.
If you can, you have insurance.
I can beat you right up.
So speaking of that, so dude,
this podcast is going to sound utterly psychotic. Either you're going to leave everything in, it's like, what are these people doing? Or it's going to be so chopped up that this people are like, so hi, Scorpion, oh, fun, bye.
Bye. Psychotic, bye.
All right. Well, as far as since we're going to talk about camping, and I saw...
We are.
Yeah, we're talking about Scorpion. We're just talking about Scorpion, camping. And I don't like camping. I've only been camping once in my life, and since she has, one of the participants has passed away with breast cancer. I always tell my one camping story, which is Amy and I and Jason Donovan, who has never been to Scarab, and he's dead to me. and our friend Brenda Sinclair decided to go camping. Now, I don't know why it was decided we were going camping. Suddenly, we're going camping. And so we drive.
It was fun. You know you had a good time.
I had a good time, yeah. But this is not my normal milieu. My normal idea of camping is staying at the Day's End. The Day's End was camping for me. For the people who went to Scarab 1 through 3, yes. The Day's End is my idea of camping. Because it's not the Hilton. So we go, and again, I wasn't responsible for the whole camping decision, so I don't think I planned anything about it. But we had taken clothes preparing for one set of weather, and we encountered a radically different set of weather. And that radically different set of weather was cold, wet, and rain, which made ideal camping weather. But we went to Stone Mountain, Georgia, and the highlights of the occasion include Jason trying to amputate his thumb, and Amy having to perform emergency like. First aid, sewing up a finger by campfire, and the Saturday morning rainstorm. Now, you know how that old wives' tale or whatever.
Sleeping on a rock.
It's sleeping on rocks, yes. Which, again, but the that's the nap afterwards. I'm getting there. Thank you.
Yes.
So, Saturday morning comes around, and it is cold. And thank goodness Amy and I are married, and we're sleeping in the same tent. Because it was our body heat that was keeping us from freezing to death. And it started this just downpour, this monsoon. And you know how that wives' tale, you could see it, the lightning flash, and you count 1,000, 2,000, how far away it was? So we're laying there, I'm laying on my back, and I see the lightning flash, and I say, one, boom, you know, and everyone starts to rattle. And we hear Brenna call out, I'm in a metal tent! And so I find my keys, and I throw, I mean, she runs a perfect out pattern, and I throw my keys, and she catches it on the fly, and she runs and jumps in the car. And eventually, I think we all ended up in the car. And then we went to Walmart in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and it's in March, and you'd be surprised how hard it is to find blankets in a Walmart in March. We bought every blanket in the building. And then later
fleece fabric.
We bought it was crazy. But it was anything we could do to get warm. And we stayed at Walmart for, 3 hours trying to, warm up,
yeah.
And so then we went back to Stone Mountain, Georgia. We went to the top of Stone Mountain, Georgia, to Stone Mountain.
Stone Mountain.
And we get out there, and we're all sitting on this stone, if you've ever been to Stone Mountain, it's a big just slab. Yes, a big slab of granite. And we're sitting there staring off into Atlanta, waiting for the zombie apocalypse to happen. And we're sitting there, and eventually, Amy just lays back and takes a nap. and everyone falls out. It's starting to look like Jonestown the morning after. And eventually, we all take a nap, and it was starting to get dark when we all finally woke up. We took, I know it was a 3-hour nap, laid out. We were all laid out like lizards on stomach, and, you know, no cushion, no whatever. But I'll tell you, that was the absolute best nap I've ever had in my life. Well, that and the time I took a nap in Thomas Cooper Library because I was supposed to be studying, but that's here or there.
That's a story for another time.
But Brenna passed away last summer. Mm-hmm. And every time I think about camping, it makes me think about Brenna because that was the only time I've ever been camping. Mm-hmm. And somebody had better pay me a lot of money to make me go camping in.
So, yeah, so check out Scorpion.
Yeah, because that was a downer.
Well, they have nice cabins and bunk beds.
Cabins and bunk beds.
I think you can.
Or you can camp in the tent.
Or you can camp in the tent. Tent if you'd like to. But.
Or we're going to camp in our house.
No, you can't camp on the lake or the water.
We've been.
That's what you were thinking, wasn't it? Yeah.
We've been thinking of different. We've been thinking of different themes to. On the if you are follow Pathfinder on Facebook, a group of Army soldiers who were based in Kuwait played the Sands of Destiny game. Played a session of all three Sands of Destiny at a table in the middle of the desert.
That was pretty cool.
And so now it's like, all right, it's game on. We got to one up it. And so it's going to be hard to one up. But you know, one idea we thought about was driving. Dell and I have talked about is driving to Mount Mitchell. Because on top of Mount Mitchell, there's usually snow, particularly this time of year, and playing, like, Shades of Ice. We also thought about going out on the lake and playing Slave Ships of Absalom. I don't know.
In a boat.
On a boat. We're on a boat.
But Ruby looks unimpressed.
Ruby is not impressed.
Your guys' idea of snow is pitiful and pathetic and weak.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we should go into a cave and play some dungeon crawl.
My home office
can keep it.
My home office for my law firm's in Cleveland, and they've had 3 feet of snow, without lake effect snow, just 3 feet of snow in the last month. And so, yeah, we're really rough. It's going to be kind of cool down here tomorrow. It's only going to be 70 degrees.
Oh, darn.
Do either of you have any interesting
new con stories
that you want to share?
I know what Ruby wants.
They had this great event at Skira this year.
And then I find out today that my wife betrayed me.
That our wonderful Ruby came up with. And one
helpfully,
of her,
helpfully made up by John.
So I was.
John I will totally tell you, I did not make the list of items. That was all John. I added I added the practical things like the year 1 through 5 badges and shirts. John came up with
Now that was not my intention. I was like, I don't know what people are going to come up with for this.
Okay,
I'm going to ask John. What did you think people were going to do when you put a bear hugging a shark?
Yes, please explain that one because I asked him, what is this, when I read the list.
I didn't know what people were going to come up with. But there was this thing on Homestar Runner, which was just a running joke of a bear holding a shark. So it was just a bear holding his arms out with like
a shark. Yes, and it wasn't a bear hugging a shark. It was a bear holding a shark.
Holding a shark. So that's why I was like, that's random. I'll put it on there. Nobody will ever come up with that.
So I'm sitting there minding my own business. Hurting no one. Suddenly and feloniously, I was assaulted.
His king or his something of Brian.
Fort Brian or
something like that over there. His big old.
Brian's Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
In the Pathfinder room.
Well, for one, it was not a fortress, and B, I had no solitude. Because I was the one responsible for printing and signing all the boons that we.
Does your hand hurt?
No, because we're not as much of a taskmasters as Paizo.
Isn't this story. This is the Baron Shark story.
Anyway, I signed boons at Gen Con for 6.5 hours straight, so that was nothing. Anyway, So I'm sitting there, and I'm
I serve time at Gen Con. This is nothing.
So the man. You can't handle the truth. Anyway, yeah, I was sitting there writing out the schedule for the next session. Minding my own business, hurting no one, when I was feloniously assaulted by a large, hairy, bare-chested man while other people were taking pictures of it. I went to scavenger hunt. And then I find out today that the idea for this came from my lovely darling wife.
Now, somebody asked. They were like, I didn't know. It was, I thought they said bear hugging a shark. And I said, well, Miles, just go take off your shirt and go give Brian a great big hug. So, for those Miles, the hairy bear, and Brian, okay, the lawyer,
okay,
a shark.
See, this is where I was not consulted. But A, Miles is not a bear. He's an ape. Nice. He's a large ape.
He's not the Wookiee, though.
See, he was bare-chested. I went...
Bear, B-E-A-R. Not bear, B-A-R-E. Don't argue word choice with me. I'm a professional. I got a license to do this.
Professional what?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
I treat you like a queen, woman. And this is the thanks I get.
I thought it was funny. Apparently everybody else thought it was funny. It's great.
The internet thought it was funny.
So,
that's gonna
I'm
be
sitting there.
That's going to be our ad for a Scarab 2016.
So I'm come sitting there up, having to approve these pictures, and I'm going through thinking, okay, that's fine, whatever. And I'm just,
and I think
I'm
it was Bill.
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
it was
yes,
Bill.
I know.
It was Bill.
He's again. People don't realize I have an enemies list, okay?
But so I'm sitting there approving it, and I stop, and I'm sitting.
It pulls out a book.
I shouldn't have been doing it, but I was doing it during the Iron GM contest, and I was doing the like 5 or 6 pictures that had come in, and I hit approve, and I stop, and I see that one, and I kind of go like, and I put it down, and I leave it alone. I don't approve it right away, and I go up to John afterwards. I'm like, I'm not real sure. I think I'm going to approve it, but I need a second opinion on this.
You're like, it's a bear holding a shark. I'm like, okay, sure, let's see what it looks like. I'm like, what the?
Not nearly as much as the what the hell as I did as I was being, again, feloniously assaulted.
Accosted.
I think that is probably the most memorable from the scavenger hunt. The most memorable from Scarab.
Yet again, a scavenger hunt bites me on the tail.
Well, you were also on the scavenger hunt as another item as well.
Really?
You were an item.
You were the gelatinous cube dance.
Oh, yes.
gelatinous cube dance.
And someone actually had a video for it. So they got double points for doing video of the whole thing.
Yeah, so Brian's were double points.
Yes, you are.
No one knew. It was also one of those, it was like, well, what is this gelatinous cube dance? And because you had done it for quite a few people at Gen Con, a few other people were like, oh, that's Brian. So.
Your infamy is spreading.
So I'm famous?
You're famous. Don't let it get any bigger than it already is.
Really? The agony.
All right.
So people are going to Google my name and they're going to see Brian.
Gelatinous I don't know.
No, because I didn't put your name.
If you're lucky, they're going to see Gelatinous Cube Dance. If you're not lucky, it'll be a bear.
Unfortunately, Gelatinous
shark.
Cube Dancing is like the limit of my dancing skills, so since I have absolutely zero rhythm.
All right, well, that's all the questions I had. I think now we know where you guys are and what you've been doing since the last time.
I've been doing therapy.
Brian's been in therapy. Since he was accosted.
Feloniously assaulted.
Again, I'm going to say, John.
She's
going to
push the blame on me.
I think it's great. I thought it was
awesome. I didn't
know
it was going to happen, so.
It was my idea, so.
There you go.
The only one you can blame is me.
Man, it's always the ones you least expect to try. And to Amy, beware the odds of Miles.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. Is there anything else you want to say, Brian, before we...
One of the best GMs I've ever played with is Ronnie Ridgway. But Ronnie's going to run Eclipse Age, which is a game by Posthuman Studios, which is run by Rob Boyle, who was in charge of 4th edition Shadowrun. And Eclipse Phase, the books are actually free online. And if you decide you want a printed copy, you buy it from them. But it's it involves transhumanity in space. So it's like, this is not an apt comparison, but it will work for most people if you've never heard of Eclipse Phase. It's like Shadowrun, but in space.
But in space.
But no magic.
We also did on the podcast, it was one of the quick start reviews that we did. We played the quick start rules and then pre-gens and scenario that they had published.
For Eclipse Phase. You can see the Kick in the Quick episode 1.
Was it in 1?
Sure, why not?
1 or 2.
You should just check out all of them anyway. Mm-hmm. It's just easier that way.
But the but Ronnie is really excited and we're going to try and play about once a month on a Saturday night. No, cannot play.
All right, so I guess that's Brian's
blurb.
Game review then.
You want Amy to
This
do
was it? Brian's plug. Yeah. That doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound good.
Gee, with the weather like this, I wish I could go outside and do some gaming. Hey, maybe this ancient D4 that I found in that pyramid will hold some sort of answers. Let me roll it really quick and see what happens.
Who dares rubs the magic D4 and summons the genie of gaming?
I
do. Silence, fool!
Whoa, okay.
What is your wish?
Well, I really wish that I could, you know, go to some sort of gamer camp or something like that.
You do not need to make a wish with me. You just need to check out Scarab's Scorpion Gamer Camp, May 1st through 3rd, 2015.
Hello.
You'll get 24-hour gaming, LARPs, role-play games, Pathfinder Society, board games, and more.
Well, that sounds really cool, but what about other outdoor activities? Because, you know, sometimes
Silence.
I like to...
You'll also get such fun activities such as archery, fishing, swimming, horseback riding, boating, outdoor games, hiking, and an evening bonfire.
Bonfire? Well, sometimes I get hungry and, you know, I like to eat and game.
Silence! Meals will be provided. Dinner on Friday. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Saturday. And even a breakfast on Sunday!
Sounds pretty good. But sometimes I like to sleep. Where am I going to sleep around there?
You can sleep in the bunkhouse. Or you can tent outside.
This all sounds pretty good. Perhaps a little too good to be true. I wonder how I sign up for this thing. Is there some place I need to go, or something like that? They probably have, like, a bunch of tickets or something, right?
Space is limited, so you need to go now, fool!
Right now? Well, how do I get there?
Go to Scarab's website.
What's www.s-c-a-r-a-b.com?
Click on the link for Scorpion! Tickets are $63 per person. 100% of the proceeds will go to the charity, the YMCA.
Okay.
Space is very limited.
I caught that. I wish you would stop yelling at me and something.
Is that your wish?
Yes, I mean, no, I mean...
If I recall correctly, Balin, you did something kind of cool at Scarab this year, right?
Yeah. Bo helped me, too. We ran the first ever I Drank What Kids tournament for Scarab this year.
How'd that go?
Great. I mean, the Bearwalds tried. Sadly failed.
So you said it was a kids tournament. How, does that mean just only, it was only open to, for kids to play?
Yeah, it was only open for kids below 21. Like
below, kids below 21.
Below 21 is what you can do.
I like the sound of it. So if I came in, I you wouldn't let me play because I'm clearly older than 21. Right? Yeah. That's fine. You know, because let me tell you what I like about that. Every time I've played, tried to win any of those I Drank What tournaments, it's always been some kids who have beaten me.
They're vicious.
Yeah, the thing about the kids game is it's not like the adults game. The adults game lasts
more ruthless,
like
right?
15 minutes. The kids last only like 5. So they all waste their time trying to kill each other.
What, in the kids game? Or?
Yeah. There's no strategy. they just find out whoever has the poison and, hey, would you drink with me? Sure. Even though they don't, they have the poison.
Well, that's kind of a strategy, right? I'm just going to kill everybody.
Not if you kill yourself in the process.
Now, did you play with any of the new cards? Did you use the ones with the cheese?
Yeah, we used the cheese. I've had the cheese for a while, but we also used the new expansion pack.
Okay. I understand there's a card in there that was specifically designed to take down one of your strategies.
What was it, Balin's Gambit?
Balin's Gambit, I think is what people keep calling it.
No, that's like, there. It wasn't in there, but it was like all the cards that were in the expansion pack were designed around, tried to prevent what I did.
So the guys at Empire Games said, well, we gotta figure out a way to get around. Well, why would they have to, what's your strategy? What's your secret? Why do they?
I don't know if you want to give it up.
Why'd they have to make?
Everyone knows it.
Why'd they have to make an expansion? Why'd they have to make an expansion to get around?
Balin's Gambit.
It was slowing the game down.
Yeah, all I did was discard anything other than the antidote and spit in the cup.
So each round, instead of like challenging people, you'd just be like, I'm gonna discard this.
Yeah.
Because what is it? Every time you discard, don't you get to draw some cards or something?
If you discard two, you draw two.
Draw two. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So your plan was just I'm just gonna keep discard until I get these two particular ones.
Yeah. The good thing about that strategy is you don't get on anyone's bad side, so you last.
They don't expect it, right?
No, you last for a little while.
And then the first time you challenge somebody, they all look at you and go, "Oh, crud."
I didn't challenge anybody. They challenged me.
I see.
Yeah.
And that works out, because then it's like, well, if you've got the poison.
Yeah.
Oh, I got the antidote, but I'm going to spit in the cup, so that'll take you out.
You did win a game, though, right?
At least you won one. Yeah. Not 2015, but 2014 year, made it to the last round with
Bill
Bearwall.
He's the bane of the Gambrels.
No, apparently. Sadly, he killed me, and yeah, that's how. Yeah.
Do you think you're gonna run it again next year?
I was gonna say. Do you think so? You're gonna run this again next year?
Yes.
The I drank what kids tournament. I'm sorry, I laugh because I think it's funny because it's a game about
drinking
wine and poisoning your friends, and of course, you know,
this is
for kids.
It's not wine. It's grape juice.
Ah, so you're drinking grape juice and trying to kill your friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
But supposedly Empire is working on a...
Kids version?
Called Alchemy.
Alchemy.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
And instead of dying,
you're going to be missing potions and...
So it kind of has like a Harry Potter kind of feel to it. Then.
I think it's a great idea. I can't wait for them to...
Yeah, because kids love I Drink What, so they're sure to like Alchemy.
Yeah.
You can still pretend you're a... drinking grape juice, I guess.
Yeah, grape juice. That's what
we're talking about. Grape juice. We toned it down. We drink your grape juice.
So.
Well, once again, I was talking with Balin Gambrell. Thank you for coming on the show. I think you're the first of the Scarab
kids,
Scarab minions, whatever you want to call them, to actually be on the show. Cool. Thank you for telling me about the I Drank What
kids
track.
Yeah.
And
family friendly.
See, yeah.
Bring your spawn.
Bring your kids.
When you play a game that involves death, we let our kids run it.
Exactly. Because they're a lot more vicious about it than we are. Yeah.
You can always ask Dave and Spanky and Scott with Empire, what is the most bloodthirsty game of I Drink What you have ever seen?
And five little girls.
At Scarab 1. Five little girls sat down, none older than 10. And it also, the game involves the highest single-serving death count.
I still have nightmares about that.
Howdy, neighbor. Say your lawn sure does look great. How do you keep it so healthy and green?
Well, I play games by Fireside Games.
Fireside Games?
Yes, they make such fine products as Bears, Bloodsuckers, and Castle Planic.
And that keeps your lawn looking so healthy?
Not really, but I do enjoy playing their games.
Wow, thanks. I'm going to check out Fireside Games now.
Glad I could help. And hey.
Yeah?
Get off my lawn and check out Fireside Games today by going through Scarab's sponsor website on www.scarab.com.
Hello, you're listening to the Scarab Swarmcast. I'm John Manus, and this segment is Kick in the Quick.
You're not going to get it from me.
She's resisting now. This time.
I refuse. Ah. You picked on me too much about it.
She still can't believe we call it that.
Yep.
You're welcome, Ruby.
Well, for this Kick in the Quick segment, we are going to be going over the game Cosmic Patrol, which actually has three going on, four quick starts. Now, what's interesting about this one is because they really only give you 3 to 4 player options in this one, and we had about 7 or 8 people show up. So we were able to break into 2 different groups to try out 2 of their quick starts.
Because we have a new kick-ass house, and we can do that now.
We did, that's true. Yeah, so all these people came over to the Beef Trapeze to play these games. And we broke into a couple groups. And it was a lot of fun. And so when we review this, we may talk about some of the differences in the actual game itself. But the core mechanics and the quick start, I think we got a pretty good uniform feel and vibe for it.
2 of our friends that were playing it had to bug out early, so we got a little bit of a snippet from that, which will be interspersed into this particular one, either somewhere towards the end or wherever is relevant.
Right. I'll give them a snappy little
3, but Ray insert. Didn't record anything, whereas Jason and
yeah. So we'll make up some stuff for Ray. We'll imitate his voice and how we probably won't do that. So sitting with me at the table are a bunch of return Kick in the Quick Pete folks. To my left, we have Kristen.
Hi, I'm Kristen. This is my second Kick in the Quick, and
ironically, it's pretty much the same system as the first one you did.
Yeah, that was a little actually kind of good because I liked the last system. So
okay. And that's something the two of us can definitely talk a little bit about on this. Then, of course, my wife, Ruby.
Hello.
And our friend, Mary.
Hi.
And her husband, Clay.
Hello.
Who don't want to make anybody think anything different. Clay's a friend of ours, too. We had a friend, Ray, who was playing as well, but he had to leave early. So if you see Ray, say hello to him. He'll think it's weird. And we had our friends Jason and Mitch, who were also playing, but they had to leave a little bit early as well. There's no reflection whatsoever on the game. It was just a time constraint sort of thing and allergies and stuff like that. So anyways, enough about our personal lives. We're talking about Cosmic Patrol, which is put out by our good friends at Catalyst Games. Who you may remember from such things as BattleTech and... Shadowrun.
I think they called it Cyberrun.
Cyberrun.
In a
they had the
episode of the Gamers.
Oh, well, they had for an April Fool's Day thing. They put out the William Gibson edition of Shadowrun, which is pretty funny. If you can find that on website, read it. It's really funny. I'm not going to really explain it on this. So
they also did another one called Valiant.
That's true. They did Valiant, which you may have heard on a previous standalone episode of Kick in the Quick, which is
remember
the one,
it because I was there.
Yeah, and yeah. I was going to say, which was the other one that Kristen was on. So
I think Jason was there for that one, too.
Yeah. Jason and Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, sir, not appearing in this film, was on that episode. So the basic gist of Cosmic Patrol is it's a sci-fi, but it's sort of like the classic notion of sci-fi from like the 50s and 60s and such. Clay, you had some pretty good examples that you had.
Forbidden Planet, the original Star Trek series, maybe not quite so westerny as that, but
Buck Rogers.
The old Flash Gordon serials that so many of us remember
the
from our youth.
The Sky Captain and
I'm just kidding, none of us
something of tomorrow.
World
of Tomorrow. Yeah.
Really old episodes of Doctor Who, like William Hartnell kind of years and stuff like that.
Pulpy.
Which we all remember from growing... No, I'm kidding. we all remember from watching on reruns on PBS and such. So that's the basic gist of the game. You're part of the Cosmic Patrol, and you're out there to go defend humanity from the evil aliens. And
you have to patrol the cosmos.
Well, pretty much. Wow, it's like the name kind of says it all.
You are patrolmen.
And women.
Yes.
Yes, and sometimes aliens and sometimes robots, or as I robots. Was calling them, robots. Robots. So, normally I would ask whoever was GMing this game, how easy was it to learn the system, and how much prep time did it take? But this is a slightly different system. It has something called lead narrative control, in which everybody is playing a character, but you rotate that lead narrative, which is kind of like the GM position, around from player to player. So that gave it kind of an interesting thing. So I guess we'll just ask everybody, how easy was the system to learn? How much prep time did it seem to take? Clay?
There wasn't a whole lot of prep time at all. We did get a couple of mechanics wrong to begin with, and then we adapted it thinking we got it right and messed it up again. And finally, we think we got the combat mechanic correct. But either way, all three versions of it didn't affect the overall gameplay of it. It still was fun. In terms of prep, from the time you open the book to the time you get started with the first game, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. To read through, maybe a little bit longer if you're having to explain some of the mechanics on there. But other than that, we got started, made it through the first scene fairly quickly, and we're off and running.
All right, Mary, what do you think?
I'd agree with that. The mechanics were pretty simple to learn and play. I liked the lead narrator mechanic. Do you want me to talk about that
now? Sure, or? That'd be great.
It was pretty interesting because you had a scenario that was described, and it was broken into acts, and each act had a different, had several scenes, and then you took turns being the lead narrator for that scene, which meant you got to describe the action for the other players at the table. And you were still playing your own character, but also then in charge of describing the scene. And that was a little bit tough because at least the scenario that we were doing, the quick start we had very little information about what was supposed to be going on in that scene. And you had to really be making almost all of it up on the fly, like it would be one sentence, and so you had to make it up, and so there was no prep time because you didn't get any prep time when the book was handed to you. You had to really be ready to go right then and just make stuff up. So that was a challenge, but it was also fun.
The crew follows the lead from their informant to find this. That was an entire description of one scene.
Right.
Without really saying what the lead was.
Yeah, right. You had to, what lead you did know, we get? It was whatever leads that you possibly came up with the last lead narrator. Now, we might have been able to do it a little differently because there were four different acts in this. It could have been done where each lead narrative actually took an entire act, but we decided to rotate it with every scene, which was kind of fun because then you just made up your particular part. Had we done it the other way, it might have sped through a little bit faster, but then it would have been either really, really railroady or would have had no fill, no substance to it. Instead, the way we did it, each person's little personal touch on it and creativity as to what they were taking the characters through really added a lot of, fun flavor to the overall story.
Okay. Well, I'm not to purposely skip Ruby, but our group played it a little differently. We only had one lead narrator.
Right. We decided to try that optional way.
Because it does give you that option. And with the amount of people we had playing, that's kind of what we ended up having to do. So, Kristen, what did you think about the whole
rotating lead narrative?
Yeah,
well, lead narrative, how easy was it to learn the game mechanics, and how much prep time did it take?
Well, I actually sort of knew or was half remembering the game mechanics just from the Valiant quick start the last time. But I still think this switching lead narrator thing is nice because, just one of the things I like about it is I end up GMing a lot for PFS and Pathfinder stuff, and being able to share that load is really nice. Because knowing that in a single game session you will be playing, for every time you're for the amount of time you spend in the GM seat, you know, 2/3 or 3/4 of that time you're also playing, just
right,
not having to worry about anything but what your character is doing. So that's a nice change of pace. And like Clay was saying, each lead narrator putting in their own creative spin and coming up with things, that's nice because it gives you some variety of play just in a single session. So
now, we didn't do that in ours, but right. I can totally see where if you were to take this to a convention kind of setting and whatnot, you would get a random set of players, obviously, but you might get the player that's, me, and is going to skew everything towards their character, be it scene-wise, be it
if they weren't
abilities, but then being able to switch out the lead narrators, it can balance that out.
Sure. If they were not the first lead narrator and correct, they got a chance to see what was going on with the others,
yeah,
I really don't think anybody that can narrate would have any problems. They would right. not. Right.
But then you'd probably get people like me who's not very good at the thinking it up on the fly with the lead narrator. You hit it with a bat.
You would be surprised, Ruby. I think being in this rotating effect, you're drawing off of some of the creative aspects of the person in front of you, and instead of having to create the whole thing from scratch,
right,
you're only kind of thinking up, oh, this would be cool, we'll throw this at him, or just thinking up the number of thugs that are going to come at him and stuff like that.
Right.
So the rest of the characters still kind of come up with the plot.
Well, you they still did too
yeah.
in ours. I mean, John just basically was the...
I was lead narrative through the whole thing. I just kind of guided
right.
the
we plot. We still each time in each of the scenes did our own things and took our turns and whatnot. So we still contributed to the story wise. Some of us a little bit more flair than others sometimes. Sometimes it's like, eat photons, evildoer. And that was
yeah.
roll my dice, I'm shooting them.
Uh-huh.
You know, but...
And what I think this game does well is even for people who might be like, I don't really want to take turns lead narrating, it's not really my thing, I'm more of a player than a GM. This game kind of tricks you into being a narrator anyway.
Yeah.
Because on your turn, it's not, well, what do you do? I run up and hit it. It's like, no, well...
What do you do? Describe.
You have narration now, describe yeah. what's going on, you know, yeah. and you might be like, oh, well, the comm screens are open, I see what's going on out there, I deliver this speech, and I hit this button and fire all the things at once. And you have these things, this mechanic, the plot point thing, where you go, I do this. In fact, I think there's something random kind of happening here, and you throw a plot point in. And, oh,
so
there
this
it
is a little off topic, but not really. It reminds me of way back when on online chats, doing the free freestyle RPG stuff in chat rooms and things. It kind of reminds me of that, where you're creating a story together.
It definitely reminds me of
and,
that too.
You know, so it's like, well, you don't roll dice or anything, but you hash it out between the two of you, you know. Oh, so-and-so walks in and sits in one of the zillion and one corners of the dark bar, whatever, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
It kind of has that feel to me.
I think it's something similar to that there's no dice rolling, too, but you got to really hit people and run away.
Yeah. But anyway.
Now, it's for me, as far as the whole GM, how easy it was to learn in prep time, I read through the 3-4 pages of actual rules that are in here, which are quite simple. There's a few little nuances, but that's easy enough to kind of get through. And I like the rules. They have all these cues for the players that and for the scenes themselves. So you go, oh, there's a cue here. It says caves. That means there's going to be caves in here somewhere, something underground. Now, I want to go back to what Kristen was talking about, how we were talking about the Valiant game that we did. because it's pretty much the same system. It's the same mechanics, same type of layout on the character sheets. I think in Valiant you had like an extra like a power, a couple different power.
You were a superhero in Valiant, so you had at least one additional dice, I remember, for each power that you were using.
Right. Now, did it seem like there was a higher amount of damage output that your characters did in Valiant versus Cosmic Patrol? Because it seemed that way to me.
Yeah, I mean, the character I was playing in Cosmic Patrol, I had two dinky little laser guns that were doing 2 damage per hit.
But right.
In Valiant, I remember, like, just wrecking people.
Yeah, because you're playing Torque, the Brobarian.
The Brobarian, yeah.
I don't remember who I was playing. Some mind
dude. Oh, yeah, you were playing the really boring guy. Oh. I mean, it wasn't you. It was just the character.
I'm not disagreeing with him. It was the most boring character in the whole thing. What can you do? I control gravity and I can fly. What do you do? I'm super strong and invulnerable. Oh, what do? I can make a force field around myself.
You had the angsty kind of...
Oh, yeah, and I've got angst.
Superpower angst for the win.
And it says I'm the leader of the group, though, so...
Yeah, that was your...
Do you also have amazing hair?
Do something right. I don't
think... The picture was kind of, like... I just kind of remember, like, a solid black...
See, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
If you're the angsty character, you should at least also get amazing hair.
Okay, fair enough. But we're going... But let's go back to Cosmic Patrol. Wow. So let's talk about the character sheets, because I think that's a very important part to talk about. This game came up with pre-generated character sheets. Mm-hmm. Hooray! That's always a bonus when these quick starts.
Yes,
unlike some, which go, here's a quick start. By the way, no characters, no plot.
Have fun. Here's some brief history, and that's it.
Here's some brief history about the game. You should buy the full game. But we're not talking about that game right now. We're not talking about that one right now. So let's talk about the pre-generated characters that are in these Cosmic Patrol quick starts. What did we think of the character sheets? Was it laid out well? Did it give a good idea about how to play the character? Was enough information there? Was too little information there? Could something have been added or changed? All that fun stuff. We'll start with randomly Clay.
For the simplicity of the game, I think the character sheet was very well laid out, utilizing the shapes with the die type for the stats made it real easy to see what you had to roll without even having to squint to see the really small print on what die type it was.
Well, these character sheets are each, half of a normal size sheet of paper?
Barely. Yeah, and it might even be a little bit smaller than that, because you've got it printed out, cut in half.
Right.
And it's actually a little bit larger, it takes about 80% of that.
Yeah, just to give everybody who's listening an idea, the Quick Start book itself is big enough to slide into your back pocket.
Mm-hmm. The cues were real helpful. To give you an idea, and I kind of wish more pre-gens would have something like that.
Aren't those nice?
It lets you really have an idea of what they had in mind with the character.
But without railroading you into the character.
Correct. You have some leeway, but it also, like my character was a Venusian scientist that was flighty.
Those Venusian scientists.
But he was almost anal retentive when it came to details. So certain things he just had to have exactly right. No, I've got to do this, and no, this has got to happen. And so it made it real easy to get quickly into character with the same kind of ease and quickness as the whoever's going to be the lead narrative has to get everything together. So
now I'm going to kind of skip, but
using a plot point so that you can interrupt.
Yes. Go ahead.
Look at that, using those game mechanics.
It reminded me, the character sheets reminded me with the cues and the other portion of it, the
of Fate
tags and stuff, reminded me of Fate, Dresden Files and Kerberos Club and things like that.
was kind of just going to ask Mary if she thought that was kind of similar too, or if it reminded her of that. Because I know you've played Dresden.
It did. Now, there wasn't nearly as much... there wasn't a character creation that we had to do. Like, with Dresden, you'd have to do your kind of your own cues. Mm-hmm. And you didn't use the cues in any kind of a mechanical way. In fact, there was very little actual mechanics to this game. I mean, there was one... There were two different kinds of roles. And that was it. And everything... kind of was, it was either a skill check or it was a combat check. And the difference between the two was you rolled a d12 with a skill check in addition to your die.
Yes,
I thought the characters were really easy to kind of get into because they were very, very kind of stereotypical sci-fi character. And that's the kind of game that this is. Mm-hmm. It's just...
pulp.
It's that's, real that's pulpy. The
term
yeah.
That's the term we forgot.
But that doesn't mean that the characters pulpy. Don't have...
I said it. You said it.
Don't have flavor. It's just that you would recognize these characters from other movies and things that you'd seen.
Yeah, I agree on that.
So I thought they were really... I thought they were easy to play, and I thought they were fun.
It's very easy to just pick up that sheet and get right into that character.
Yes. Yeah.
Kristen seemed to jump in very quickly with his character.
Because I was basically Zap Brannigan. or Zach Justinian.
And that brings me to a point that I want to get into a little bit later. What do you think about the character sheets?
They reminded me a lot of the Fate character sheets with the cues and things. Whereas the Fate, you use it a little bit more to...
It has, like Mary said, a mechanical effect
but,
in the game.
But it still reminded me of that because you had those aspects or cues and stuff. So it being similar to another game, it made it extremely easy besides it just being simple. And the character sheet was pretty well laid out. You had the stats, five stats at the top. And then you had your cues down the right side, and then the tags and your gear,
your weapons
on the bottom, and the weapons.
I thought if the gear. You had any. I thought the gear was really fun because it you had these things.
You didn't know what they were,
and it didn't say at all what they were supposed to be. So you could just kind of make them be whatever you wanted them to be.
And in the Quick Start book itself, it even says in one of the examples, it says so and so has this, furicating analyzing device, and it says, what does that do? Who knows? It's up for the player to decide.
I think Ray had a little trouble trying to figure out why he was carrying around a jar of Martian dirt.
But he used it to his advantage, did he not? Well, he would have if he made the roll.
He tried to use it to his advantage. But
nice.
He had much more success with his axe on a chain after it had lodged itself into a fire extinguisher. So
Yeah. But I mean, that was one of the things I was wondering about. It's like, what does any of this do? I imagine one of these is supposed to be like a first aid kit, but there's another thing that's like I forget what the term was, but it made me think it's some kind of like super hyper cosmic condom or something, which actually would have fit the character really well.
One of these like, because as a GM, I had all the NPC characters. And one of them had this some sort of cube. And I was like, what the heck is that? All the soldiers are carrying on this weird, crazy cube and some sort of space tube.
Yeah.
Which Ruby was like, oh, that's for communications, obviously. And I was like, oh, obviously. Bank teller kind of tube.
Yeah. Totally what we made it into.
What would you think of the character sheets and stuff, Christian?
Oh, I mean, fairly elegant, even with the lack of description of what the hell the equipment is. But, I mean, everything you need to know is
part of the charm of the game, though.
Yeah, and if that's the purpose, then great. I mean, like, have the players come up with... I mean, some of it was fairly self-explanatory, like an atomolite. I don't know what that is, but I imagine it's an atomic-powered light just for the name, right? So,
look at that, jar of Martian dirt.
But, there's also a shard from a killbot.
Yeah. Someone threw waves after wave of their own men at them until they reached their preset kill limit. But so I really do like the cues and the tags, mainly because other pre-generated characters I've seen with like really detailed backstories, you have to read paragraphs and paragraphs to know what this character is about. These cues and tags, they give you exactly what the character is about super fast, and I think. Right. part of that's because they're cliched characters to a certain degree, but part of it's because the cues and tags are just really well written and work together nicely.
Right, which is what they encourage you in Dresden and Fate to do, is make it concise, tags. Descriptive, but yet open.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. so it was open enough that you could give your own spin on these kind of cliched sorts of characters, but also they're descriptive enough so that you have
a feel.
You have like a set path. It's not like so open that you could run that character anyway. Right. You have like a limited number of ways that fit the character, but it's still broad enough that you can put your own spin on it.
So here's what I thought about the character sheets.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with what everyone else here said. I also like the fact that there was a really interesting little picture on each of the character sheets to kind of give you an idea of what this character looked like, and it also added to the vibe of the whole game. Like, I'm looking at one here now. It's obviously a guy in a spacesuit. He's got a little bubble helmet on, and he's holding out two interesting...
Oh, I know that picture.
Yeah. Two very interesting
little ray guns,
like Jango Fett type of laser, freaking laser pistols. Okay, so the adventure. We're gonna talk about these different adventures we played. We're not really gonna give away plot. Well, we should not give away plots. Although, would that really matter in this? And I don't know if it would.
They do mention that any time that you can play it over and over again, and it should be different.
It's gonna be a unique experience each time. Blah, 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 indie stuff. So, the adventures. basically, did we enjoy the adventures? And did it give us a good idea of the setting for Cosmic Patrol? Kristen. Ah, I see I'm shifting things up here. What do you think?
So, as far as enjoying the adventure, yes. Okay. So, it was just fun. We got all this weird pulpy stuff showing up and... fought some robots and some space pirates and
as you should.
good stuff. As far as the flavor of the setting of Cosmic Patrol, since the actual acts and scenes were a little scarce in the details, or at least in our book they were, I didn't really feel like I got a whole lot of the setting, at least not from the scenario. From the character sheets, yeah, kind of. Just from, like, what they're carrying on them and what kind of weapons they're using. But from the descriptions and the scenarios, it's just kind of, there's something called Helios Station. Okay. And you're on this asteroid. Okay. But, I mean, that
what do you want to do?
But, just that description, that could have been from, like a retro kind of future. Or that could have been... that's all pulpy, or could have been from a more serious, gritty sci-fi, or anywhere in between that on that spectrum.
Could have been seriously cold and dark.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm guessing I'm just floating out here.
It could have been super grim dark, right?
Because I got lost somehow in inertia. Oh, damn you, inertia. Or lack thereof.
I was going to say, I kind of agreed that ours had a little more description as far as the scenes and everything, and ours were very much aliens. We had cat folk and green aliens.
Now we'll say this about the cat folk. I had no idea what the heck these things were until I read the mission briefing to you guys, and I was like, oh, I get it now. These guys are cat folk. Because all I got was a name, and I knew that they could attack with their tails. So I was like, I guess they're lizard people or something? I don't know.
So did it even say that they were cat folk?
Eventually.
It did. There was a brief line in the mission debrief. It says, go ahead and make friends with the native peoples of the planet who are cat-like people. I was like, oh, I get it now.
That was another weird thing about the acts and scenes, the way they break it up. Sometimes they don't give you all the information in the scene you're currently the lead narrator on.
Yeah.
So I made sure to... because when we played Valiant, I kind of ran into this problem. I made sure to read the scenes that occurred before mine just to see if there were any important details that hadn't, sparkled.
Yeah, we did have to kind of do that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because we ran into that where I was like, oh, apparently in that last scene, your brother was supposed to have died.
Oops. Yeah. I do remember that one, yeah.
Now, if we'd have done it where each lead narrator had taken an entire act instead of an individual scene, then it could have played out a little bit differently because we would have had more information to go on. So some of that might have played in the fact that we decided to break up the scenes, one per person.
I don't know. There still really wasn't that much information
now, in there. Which one did you guys do? Which year as well? Because there's three different ones, each from different years.
You guys did the 2012 one, which was the very first one. Whereas we did, I want to say, the most recent one. But no, we did the 2013.
We did the 2013. Okay.
And I did notice that in looking into the continuance contingency, which is an awesome name for a quick for a scenario, it's like each scene had like a good
more.
Two paragraphs of details in each scene.
Okay, so each
as opposed to like one sentence.
Yeah. So they realized it as they went through.
The player searched the ship.
They figured it out.
Yeah. So saying that, please be aware that we did the two earliest ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
And even though there wasn't a lot of detail as far as the setting, I kind of felt like it was enough. Like, okay. I felt like I understood what was going on, even though each narrator could put their own spin on, you know, exactly what the world looked like. That was kind of part of the feel of it, that everybody kind of got to do their own creation. And, you know, you still knew it was sci-fi, so it was going to be aliens and robots and stuff. And,
right.
You know, we were in a black market at one point, and you know, that while that could be a lot of different things, it wasn't, you know, so I don't think it was so hard for everybody to see what that narrator's vision of it was. Everybody kind of got to create their own idea,
including going way, way, way off base.
But I had
like little, yeah. Very, very little description. I said, go find the hideout.
Looking for the hideout.
So the hideout ended up being a giant former spaceship hangar on a pier that was reconverted into a 6-story office building, and the pirates were very upscale
business pirates.
But I would definitely...
Piracy is a business.
Tomorrow. I mean...
Piracy is a very important business around here.
Now, you made the point that each one is supposed to be replayable.
Well, that's what they say on the back of the...
And it was funny because I actually had the quick start of the scenario that we played, and I ran that for that free RPG day in 2012.
Okay.
And did not realize until I got the book when it was my turn to be lead narrator on the second act, that it was that same one. I thought, wow, these character sheets look familiar. But it seemed like it was nothing like the time when we played it before at all.
So it is replayable, and it will be a unique story.
It was, because I didn't remember any of this.
Huzzah!
Yeah, Clay was in it too, and he had no idea.
I came in a little bit late to the one in 2012, and to make matters worse, we already had a full table of people, and so she said, here's a character sheet, go on ahead and make up your own character. And so I started, and I said, well, can I be a robot? And who did you say?
Oh, Pete Palmer was at another table. He runs this, or has run this on a regular basis, I guess. And he said, yeah, there's robots. I'm like, okay, you're a robot. Give yourself some stats or something.
So I dealt it out, and then with my tags and stuff, made Bender. From Futurama.
Please note, these have pre-gen characters and doesn't have character creation rules.
So. No, so we just made some stuff up because we needed another character. Yeah. We didn't have enough characters.
But it was hilarious.
It was very fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Do you think the adventure gave you a good idea about the setting?
For
Cosmic Patrol, not necessarily the adventure.
I think that there's a little bit... There, I think they hint at what there could be by, you know, the equipment We talk about how the character equipment sheet has
more
no
than the adventure.
The adventure really did not have a whole lot of stuff that gave you a good idea of the setting.
Okay. Well, things you mentioned the equipment, like the atomic light,
atomo light
thing.
Oh, yep. None of your scanometer.
Yeah. The scanometer.
Scanometer. We had somebody who had Jason's character had a telescopic omni tool.
Yeah.
I had an omni tool.
Was it but telescopic?
Not telescopic, so.
See there.
Yeah, I cannot say go gadget omni tool.
Now, as far as for me, did the adventure really give me a good idea of the setting? Maybe. I don't know. The debriefings, I thought, added a lot to the setting. You know, when you read out the patrollers, your mission is to infiltrate this space. Now, I did make up a lot of really great random stuff because I didn't know, like, what certain terminologies. I was like, I don't know, do they have hyperspace? And I think I accidentally called it transcendental space. Which led to all sorts of interesting jokes.
You're going to get all the philosophers upset at you.
Yeah, what was it? Because Jason was like, I shall start up the transcendental drive by reading some books to it. And you were like, 50 Shades of Grey. And I'm like, 50 Shades of Grey is not a transcendental book whatsoever. And he failed that die roll. And I was like, maybe that's what you were reading to it. So you didn't start up the drive.
Needed to get some Kant.
Yeah, there you go.
Couldn't think of any on the fly. I'm not the philosophy or literature major here, so.
Throw a little T.S. Eliot in there. Nah, that only gets you so far. Okay, well, that joke's from this course. Very quickly, Clay, did you enjoy the quick start?
Yes.
Mary, did you enjoy the quick start?
Yes, I really did.
Ruby, did you enjoy the quick start?
Yes.
A very reluctant yes.
Only because I enjoyed the people I was playing with, not the flavor I usually like. However, the people made it.
Oh, but those people, Jason, I can't shake this book, and Jason and Mitch don't fall out of the book, so that doesn't help anybody else.
That'd
be cool if it did, though, but it'd be really awkward for them.
It would be. No, it was a good adventure. It was just not my flavor.
Was it
That's
your,
all.
Okay. Was it your genre?
It's not my genre.
Was it your genre?
Which, it's surprising what my genre can be, because usually it's fantasy, but then I get the weird things like, oh, Mass Effect, that I'm like, yeah. But, you know, or Kerberos Club, the super-powered...
That's weird that
I know,
you like
right? Because I don't like superhero stuff normally.
But
anyway,
hey, we're not talking about that. Kristen, did you enjoy the quick start for Cosmic Patrol by Catalyst Games?
I did.
As did I, but I also kind of like the Valiant one too, so it had a very same kind of vibe.
Okay, I will say I like the system, so if you did what you were talking about doing with it.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, which brings up something that's been kind of mentioned a little bit here on this podcast, so I'll just go ahead and address it. This will make an awesome Futurama game.
Yes.
I think this would easily work.
I could totally do this as Futurama.
And I think at one point, each of us probably had Zap Brannigan or Bender or Fry's voice, or the professor's voice going through their head at some point.
Yes.
So I mentioned our friends Mitch and Jason, who do not come with the book. They had some ideas about this game as well. Let's hear what they had to say.
We've been playing Head Taker.
I've been playing. You've been getting a red ass beatdown.
You need to cut.
Well, that was really cool. We should have those guys over more often. They have some interesting opinions that may or may not have actually come out, in which case this segue is going to be very awkward, but that's okay. That's how I roll. So, sure. I'll edit that out.
Uh-huh.
So, do you think this would make you want to check out the full game, Clay?
From time to time.
From time to time. If it was Futurama, maybe.
If it was Futurama, yeah.
Okay. Mary?
Sure, I think this would be a fun one, especially to take to cons and stuff, because
I think it'd
be
interesting to take to cons.
It's it's very player driven. It's open ended. I couldn't really see doing like a long term campaign of this.
I don't think you could.
Just because it's so goofball,
it would be hard to do.
But I think for a one shot, get together, have some fun.
drink some, maybe cook out. Yeah,
drinking, cooking out.
Hey, yeah. Kind of like we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would enjoy it, I think. Yeah.
What about you, Ruby?
Yeah, I do the same.
You do the same? For pretty much the same reasons?
Pretty much.
As long as there was food and drinking involved, you'd be
And good friends.
Okay.
Oh, and okay friends.
And okay friends? Like the friends we had here today. Wait a minute. What about you, Kristen? Do you think this would make you want to check out the full game?
So I actually had an interesting thought about this. I think this game would be one of those good, if you had the right mix of people, okay. A good introduction to role-playing for non-role-players. Because the rules are fairly simple. There's not a whole lot of dice. You can do a lot with really simple dice rolls, unlike some other games where...
And with that fate thing, the token where you can just kind of make stuff kind of...
The tags and the cues are really good. Like, hey, all you have to do is read a couple of sentences and a couple of keywords, and you know all the things you need to know about your character. Right, so it was just really it would if you had some people who knew role playing and were comfortable with that kind of thing, and some non role players mixed in, you could, you know, if you had the role players acting as examples,
it would also be easy for kids like this likes to run for. So
yeah.
Well, except I don't know if the kids would get all the references.
Well, but you can with a lot of indie games.
Maybe if you reskinned it a certain way.
Yeah, I think they could play it easy enough. I just you know, most 10-year-olds don't have as much experience with original series Star Trek. And
you'd be surprised at those nerd kids.
That's true.
Skin it as Twilight, and you're set.
No.
Oh my gosh.
That's looking for the kids.
No.
What little kids are you talking? This is Ruby, who made a little kid cry at her table of Battle Dragons. At Scarab.
It is true. I'm sorry.
She's working on that marriage
and
right now.
You're talking about 10 and 11-year-olds watching Twilight?
She's got a really skewed... Oh,
see, Maya, who's, I guess, 16 now, but she's just on the cusp of the kids' track, and all of the girls and the children that play 14 and 10-year-old... 14 to 16-ish that all play together, they've all seen Twilight. I can guarantee you they've seen Twilight.
So this quick start would make me want to check out the full game, he said, bringing it back on topic, which is weird for me.
I know. Usually that's my job.
This would make me want to check out the game, if for nothing else than so I could run Futurama. And that would be it. So we're gonna end this with something I think is a neat little thing to kind of add to this. So we're going to give this kind of a rating on a scale of 1 to 3 trains. Since most of these quick starts have a really high railroading factor, 3 trains meaning it was incredibly railroady, 1 train meaning it was not very railroady at all. How many trains would you give it, Clay?
0.
0. Okay. I'll say that's a legit thing since this is the first time we're doing it.
I'm kind of with Clay. Even as the lead narrator, most of the time I had no idea where I was going with the story. So I couldn't railroad anybody.
Okay.
this is so open-ended that, they tell you what your mission should be, but that, like ours, we were supposed to sneak in and sabotage.
You guys didn't sneak.
We guerrilla
tactics.
None
of your characters were built around sneaking.
Right. In fact, mine specifically said, I don't sneak. Yeah. That was one of my cues.
The sweet dog dodge.
All right, so you're giving it 0 trains?
This one was so open-ended that they give you the hint of what you're supposed to do, and if you succeed at it by the end of your scene, great.
All right, Kristen, how many trains are you
going to
give it?
I'm going to buck the trend.
Woot, woot! Or whoop, whoop, or I don't know. There we go.
So the way we actually played it, I think that was 0 trains or 1 train or whatever the lowest would be. But depending on who you are, who you've gotten that lead narrator seat, if they are really obstinate about doing it their way, then it shoots straight up to 3 trains.
Then it could be full on Jethro Tull locomotive breath.
Like,
because right
I'm having flashbacks.
I'll work that in. Oh, yeah.
I'm having flashbacks to Valiant, the Valiant quick start, and that being there are some parts of that that were really railroady.
Very specific, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Like, Torque's brother has to die in this scene.
Okay.
So the scene...
You will not defeat Bloodspot.
But based on what you saw in this one...
In this one, but I'm just worried because it's the same rule system, and right. And if you have a lead narrator who's just like, no, it has to be this way, and you guys are doing it wrong, then... And the lead narrator is just circling around.
Okay.
I can see that. I can see how it can go from 0 to 3.
Yeah, have a specific objective that had to be accomplished in the scene, and if you didn't accomplish that, there wasn't anything to take you into the next scene, and your next scene couldn't be something different.
Right, but in...
So, if the characters weren't getting there, it was kind of up to the lead narrator to somehow make them get there anyway, if nothing else, so that they could hand the book to somebody else to continue the train wreck.
Okay.
All right. Philosopher changing hearts and minds.
Wow. Look at that. I'm also going
to... stick with the 0. I don't care. I know, and maybe this is just my personal GMing style... Even with having done, you know, my share of PFS, probably my favorite GM style is the open world one, where I can react to what the players want to do and mess with them a lot, and eventually work my way back around to what I was intending for something to happen.
Yeah.
So I'll agree with you, Kristen, in terms of it could be a 0, it could be a 3. But based solely on the amount of information that's in the book,
yeah.
I can't give it a I can't give it a single train at all.
Okay. Well, I'm going to also give it a single train. Because you did have these objectives you kind of had to meet if you wanted to get to the next part. But I'm only giving it one train because it was a pretty nice ride. It was like you were sitting in the club car. It's like, oh, we got to get there eventually, but I guess we could drink and eat as much as we want.
I was going to say, we could spend all night just in this one scene.
That's true.
That could be the whole game.
Because that could be the thing. It could be, the GM could be like, well, until you accomplish these objectives, we can't move on to the next scene. Which, that could be interesting. Let's never try that, though. That's what we call a recursive loop, I guess. Or hell. I guess that's what we would call it. Being stuck in hell. RPG limbo.
Causality loop.
Yeah, there you go. RPG limbo. We're still stuck on this one scene. We can't leave yet. Worst game ever.
So, I know Catalyst isn't an indie publisher, really, but this and Valiant kind of do feel like an indie game to me. Because, I mean, their number one big games are Shadowrun and BattleTech. Whereas this really, like I said, it feels like an indie game. Like,
it's that whole narrative thing.
Yeah.
The unique
approach.
It's the unique approach to that lead narrative. The fact that it's like, not only are you, air quotes, GMing the game, but you're also playing the game at the same time. And guess what? The next person's going to be GMing the next part of it, and you're still playing it.
So
I think that's a really neat approach.
Word of warning to anybody that's playing, it's very easy when it's your turn to lead narrate to forget that you actually still have a character.
Yes, yeah. That is the important part. We didn't really run into that with ours, but...
we ran into it all the time.
I remember what happened in Valiant... was by the time I got to your part, you ended up doing I guess I'm going to punch him in the face. And then you go, and then the bad guy picks up the building, twirls it around, delivers this thing, and smashes so-and-so over the head with it.
All right, so.
So that was Cosmic Patrol, again by Catalyst Game Labs. Check them out, www.cosmicpatrol.com. Woohoo! They have another free RPG scenario coming out, this new free RPG. What's it about? Who knows? You guys should check it out and check out one of these other fine quick starts from Cosmic Patrol. High in the fun factor, low in the train factor. And so that's it for another episode of the Scarab Swarm cast. Again, I'm John Maness, and I would just like to thank my wife, Ruby, our friends Clay and Mary and Kristen, and those other guys that came over, whatever the names were, Mitch and Jason, I think it was. And of course, a special thanks to our friend Ray. It's too bad he couldn't stick around long enough to be on the show. And a very special thanks to Brian and Amy Gambrell for coming back on the show and tell us what they've been up to. And their son, Balin, for telling us all about how much fun he and the kids had drinking grape juice and poisoning each other. Whatever that was about. Well, until next time. Yeah, I'll just toss it on over to Toast.
That's it. That's the end of this episode of the Scarab Swarmcast. If you liked this, or even if you didn't, feel free to send us an email at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's S-C-A-R-A-B. Lots of little dashes in there. Or you can leave us a message on Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. If you want us to read any of your comments on the show, let us know. Hey, subscribe to our show. Check out the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Or you can grab that RSS feed from our website. You can get our website off of Facebook or off of Scarab's website. Ah, it's all a bunch of internet flibbity-jibbity. So, until next time, when you think of Scarab's Wormcast, think of this podcast. And when you think of Toast, think of me!
Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by iFightDragons at iFightDragons.com, MC Lars at MCLars.com, and Midnight Syndicate at MidnightSyndicate.com. I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? Cause I'm always going hard with my Dothraki crew. Daenerys be the name, and I'm setting hearts aflame when I'm burning down these villages and freeing all the slaves. Wiz Khaleesi, have you bit my dragons? My brother tried to sell me to Khal Drogo, look what happened. A bit hot-headed with that molten golden crown. I stopped the Khalasar, so don't be messing with me now. Look my lover in the eye, winter's coming, so am I. I burned the witch alive, who took my son and husband's lives. But I survived so frisky, now these dragons have my back. Suitors are so frisky, and they always try to mac. Zara, Zo, and Daxos had to lock him in a vault. Made my way to Slaver's Bay, but it was not my fault. It was karmic retribution. There was no preparing them, and Crassus tried to mess with the wrong Targaryen. I smarted him like Tyrion when I knew how Valyrian. These creatures on my shoulders, well, I think you should be fearing them. You are now watching the throne. I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? Cause I'm always going hard with my Dothraki crew. I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? Cause I'm always going hard with my Dothraki crew. Dothraki, 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 unsullied behind me, like I'm Luminati. It's the mother of dragons with my gigantic army. We be marching to Meereen, but no, we didn't come to party. Cause they crucify the slaves and put them on the cross. Ser Jorah, please get lost. I know you think I'm hot. My schedule's kinda busy, got no time for Perrier-ing. White girl politic, and that's Daenerys Palin. From Dorne to the Stormlands, the north and beyond. To the Westerlands and Essos, I'm keeping it strong. From the Crownlands to the Reach, you know I'm getting love. To the Riverlands and back, because I've got that dragon blood. So follow, more clueless. I thought that you knew this, but dragons aren't people, you know we've been through this. I'm quick to burn a hater, no mercy, damn, just smacking kings in the face like my name was Cersei Lannister. Burn, burn, yes, you're gonna burn. 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 I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? Cause I'm always going hard with my Dothraki crew. I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? I'm always going home with my Dothraki crew. I got burn, burn, you should gonna burn. I got burn, burn, you should gonna burn. I got burn, burn, you should gonna burn. Cause I'm always